Hello, and welcome to another SNL Energy podcast. I'm Jennifer Zajac, and with us today is Nadav Enbar. He is Senior Project Manager with EPRI, that's the Electric Power Research Institute. He recently put out a new report, Addressing Photovoltaics, Operating and Maintaining Challenges. Nadav, can you start off by you telling us why you decided to even write this report? What inspired you?
Thanks, Jennifer, and I appreciate you having me on today. We at EPRI believe that the growth of solar PV globally and in the United States is virtually preordained. We expect to see a greater penetration of solar electricity on the distribution grid. And as utilities and independent power producers increasingly incorporate solar into the portfolio, there's going to be a greater importance placed on maintaining these systems so that they can perform to their greatest capability. If they're able to produce, to maximize or optimize the production of electric generation, then that bodes well for being able to finance them, pay them down, and in terms of attaching a greater amount of value to these systems going forward. But in particular, EPRI focuses a lot of its energies towards issues that we feel are going to be affecting the electric utility industry. And we've seen some innovative things happening within the solar segment, including an increasing amount of utility asset ownership of solar PV. As utilities now become more responsible for these assets in managing them and in trying to wring as much value out of them, we believe that the solar PV O&M piece will become more important.
How much are utilities investing in PV systems in the United States?
That's an excellent question, and it's one that we've been monitoring fairly closely, particularly over the last several years, because effectively, we'd say maybe 3 or 4 years ago, pioneering utilities in the United States really began to examine and in some cases pull the trigger on a number of different structures for owning solar PV assets, distributed solar PV assets. Right now, we believe that about half dozen regulated U.S. utilities have proposed major plans to deploy and own a total of roughly 1.1 gigawatts of distributed PV over the next 5 years. And these same utilities are also going to be funding another half a gigawatt through third-party-owned PV that they will then source to their ratepayers. And overall, that's a combined planned investment of about $4.8 billion, again, over the next 5 years. And just to put this in perspective, if this is fully realized, this amount of planned ownership, it's roughly akin to what the United States at large has been able to deploy to date since solar became commercial 50 years ago. Among the pioneers in the utility solar asset ownership movement, if you will, is Southern California Edison, who really, to my mind, kind of helped to legitimize, in a way, the idea of a utility owning large swaths of PV. And that happened in 2008 with its unveiling of its solar photovoltaic program, which they are planning to own a total of 250 megawatts themselves and fund the development of another 250 megawatts from third-party PV developers. In their wake, a number of other utilities, including the two other sisters within California, Pacific Gas and Electric and San Diego Gas and Electric, have come forward to initiate similar kinds of programs in scope, both financially as well as in capacity terms.
Now, that's largely due to the fact that California has a pretty progressive solar mandate. Do you see other utilities getting into this even without the state regulatory RPSs, say?
Excellent question. I think the overarching drivers, particularly within the United States for solar development, they really fall to policy issues. And to a certain extent, that's connected to the price point and economics of solar PV. Indeed, the California landscape is unique in and of itself. However, there are a number of other kinds of incentives, including renewable portfolio standards, 16 of which have carve-out provisions, essentially mandating that a percentage of the overarching amount of renewable generation that needs to occur by a certain standpoint, that percentage of that is comprised of solar or other kinds of distributed generation. There also are, to a certain extent, the emergence of cap and trade markets, both existing, such as the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, and possibility of future markets that are forcing utilities to set the future of whether they can invest in fossil plants such as coal, and if not, and to what extent, how much of that needs to be replaced by alternative generation such as solar. But from a financial standpoint, I also think that now that utilities can invest themselves in solar assets, and that was made available to them in 2008, they're now eligible for the 30% U.S. investment tax credit. That puts them in a position to better leverage their balance sheet strength. And there's a perception now that that asset ownership by the utility can more efficiently and economically enable them to comply with RPSs and greenhouse gas reduction mandates. And the reason being that they've got reduced, for example, reduced development risk. There's no credit-related third-party project cancellations or delays that they have to be aware of.
Let's turn now to the focus of the report. Let's discuss the three major approaches that you cover. How do utilities handle O&M when it comes to solar systems?
There are several major approaches for handling O&M, and it's important to note that each has different system efficiency and system component lifespan trade-offs. At the core of O&M in general is really the trade-off of that cost-benefit. How much should you invest in a maintenance and oversight program, and what's the payoff of that investment? But at their core, each of these three approaches that I'd like to briefly list for you, they all attempt to achieve three key aims that are foundation for an effective O&M strategy, and that's to reduce costs while improving availability and increasing productivity. So the first one is kind of the industry standard right now for utilities, and that's known as corrective or reactive maintenance. And that essentially just addresses equipment breakdowns after they've occurred. It's really done to be able to mitigate as much as possible unplanned downtime after it's occurred. So this kind of quote-unquote break-fix method allows for low upfront costs, which is one of the reasons why it's kind of been the de facto way why a number of utilities have employed it to date. But it also brings with it a higher risk of component failure and higher costs on the back end, right? If you have something that breaks down to a greater extent than you had budgeted for, then in the end, it could be a losing economic proposition. So there's always going to be a certain amount of reactive maintenance, regardless of how you approach the O&M equation over the plant's 20-year lifetime. But there is a newer approach known as preventative maintenance, and that entails routine inspection and servicing of equipment to prevent breakdowns and those unnecessary production losses before they happen. And these are becoming increasingly popular because they're now perceived to lower the probability of unplanned PV system downtime, which is exactly what owners of these PV assets want. But the trade-off here is that, of course, the upfront costs associated with preventative maintenance programs are moderate because the underlying structure of PM, as it's known in acronyms, can sometimes engender superfluous labor activity. Sometimes you don't need to have people go out to a plant to be able to check on whether the wiring is good or if a panel cleaning needs to happen.
What is the biggest problem? We spent a lot of time talking about preventative. Is it simply keeping these systems clean?
Preventative maintenance actually incorporates a number of different kinds of activities. Panel cleaning is a major part of that, and that typically happens between one and two times a year. Most folks tend to do it only once a year, particularly depending on the environment that a system is based, whether it's in a desert environment that doesn't require that much cleaning, maybe once a year because of sand and dust. If the system is in an environment with a lot of rain, for example, that can do a pretty good job on its own. Other areas of preventative maintenance activities are vegetation management, mowing the grass, keeping as much of the panels exposed to the sunlight as possible, making sure that you keep wildlife away from the different wires. It's amazing how many of these systems are impacted by rodents, for example, getting fried on a wire trying to eat a coil for breakfast.
Ouch.
Making sure that water is properly drained. And there's also a level of keeping the data acquisition and monitoring systems up to speed, making sure that the sensors and the electronics work as it's supposed to.
Nadav, one thing you really focused on in the report, which kind of surprised me, warranties. Tell us about that, why those are so important.
So warranties really are an important facet of O&M because as warranties exist in other industries, they really, depending on how they're structured, they can mitigate the risk of a plant equipment failure, of having to pay for that failure within a given time frame. There's a number of different ways to be able to structure warranties that will protect the owner of the systems, and there's a number of different lengths that can be applied in warranty for different costs to the different kinds of equipment involved in a PV system area. For example, warranty is particularly important for inverters, which tend to be the Achilles heel of a number of PV systems, as they have the greatest breakdown. They're the most likely to break down. Most inverters now have a 10-year lifetime, and those are now increasing to 15 years. In some cases, we've actually seen 20-year warranty lifetime. And that's a big deal, given that a plant can last for between 20 and 30 years. If you budgeted that you need to be able to swap out an inverter just based upon lifetime issues, you have the proper warranty to make sure that downtime can be rectified as quickly as possible, then you're putting yourself in a better position for, again, increasing output, minimizing downtime, increasing the value of the plant generation.
We've been speaking with Nadav Enbar. He's Senior Project Manager with the Electric Power Research Institute, and we've been discussing his latest report, Addressing Photovoltaics Operations and Maintenance Challenges. Nadav, how can our listeners get a copy of your report?
This PV O&M report, unfortunately, it's been developed for our EPRI members only. However, we will be working on the O&M issue for the next several years, and we expect to be releasing a public document potentially by the end of this year.
All right. Nadav, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you, Jennifer.
And that's another SNL Energy podcast. I'm Jennifer Zajac. Thanks for listening.